How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Figure Four Daily. It is August 12, 2014, figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. We are joined today by Romeo Roselli here on the program. Giovanni Roselli is his professional name here. And Romeo, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you? And thanks for having me.
I will always know you as Romeo. So I've
been called many things, so I'll take Romeo.
That's right. We got a lot of stuff to talk about here today, not the least of which is the new film that is coming out that you have got a role in. One of the stars of the film, at least according to this poster that I'm looking at right here. This is the Jersey Shore Massacre, which is going to be debuting in theaters. Particularly, there's a New York City showing that is coming up next week. And let's talk about this. August 22nd, Jersey Shore Massacre. Memories of putting this, I guess I shouldn't say putting the film together, but being involved in this film.
Yeah, you know, it was a really fun experience to be a part of the film. And, you know, I had the fortunate opportunity to be cast as one of the lead characters. And like you saw, I made it onto the movie poster.
That's right.
Another cool experience that I got to do, doing the photo shoot there. You know, it's Guidos and Guidettes and, you know, kind of spoofing the Jersey Shore reality show. And we have Jay Wow as our executive producer behind the movie. And you're probably seeing quite a few other reality Italian type people at the premiere, which is in New York City this Tuesday, August 19th, at the AMC Theater, right around Lincoln Square. And we will be in theaters on August 22nd as well in Queens, New York, as well as Hollywood, California. And then it will be available on DVD, Blu-ray, and iTunes, and all that other stuff, video on demand, beginning Tuesday, August 26th. So it's a very exciting couple weeks.
So the premiere is the 19th. So if you want to show up at the premiere, do not show up August 22nd, although we'll be playing there August 22nd. It's in theaters August 22nd. But the big premiere is August 19th, and then video on demand.
Big premiere, August 19th, red carpet, JWoww, Jersey Shore, Mob Wives, Real Housewives, who knows what other surprises.
Wow.
So it'll be a real fun time.
I like that on this poster here, you've not only have you made the poster, but they have taken this girl who's out front and center, and they have positioned her arm perfectly so that you see her arm.
See my abs.
You see your abs, and then you see boobs. So,
yeah.
I mean, this is like hitting all bases here on this poster.
Yeah, and, you know, they had to make sure that they still get their ab shots in.
Exactly.
And just in case you were wondering, those are not airbrushed. Those are not touched up at all. Those are just the way my abs really look.
Those are the real deal. Now, it's funny that you mentioned that this is a spoof of Jersey Shore, and JWoww, of all people, is the executive producer. Did you have any conversations with her about her run in TNA?
Actually, no. We did not kind of get to that. We kind of kept it all Jersey Shore and all business, and the conversation just never really led to that. But that's something that we'll definitely I'll definitely end up mentioning in the weeks to come as we're around each other.
Now, it doesn't appear that she's got much of a role at all in the film. Is that correct?
She is not in the film at all. She's
wow.
Literally was the or is the executive producer, so she's all behind the scenes stuff.
Now, a lot of people listening to this have probably maybe not a lot of people, but I'm sure some of them have thumbed through the bodybuilding fitness magazines here and there, and you see all of these people with these incredible bodies, and I think some people are aware that a lot of these bodybuilding magazines, they do a whole bunch of photo shoots right around the time that somebody is peaking for a contest. Like the day before a contest, they'll do a ton of photo shoots, and then those are used throughout the year. So these big bodybuilders that you see, they don't look ripped to shreds all year long. It's a peaking process to a day or two. Now, you had to do this film, and I presume that I don't know how many days was your shooting schedule here?
It took just me personally. I shot for about a month, so about 30 days on and off.
And The Rock had just did Hercules, and he talked about how difficult it was. I mean, it's not like peaking for one day. You've got to peak for a role, and then you've got to maintain that for a full shooting schedule. Rock probably did 3 months. You did a full month. How difficult is that to keep those abs for the poster during that period?
Yeah, you know what? And kudos to Rock, because I'm obviously I wasn't training for any Herculean type role. But, you know, fortunately for me, I keep myself in shape all day, every week, every month, you know, throughout the year. So when I have something that comes up, you know, an audition in New York City, a role that I got cast in, you know, I don't have to do too much tinkering. Yes, obviously I will kind of tighten up the diet a little more, maybe add some more training, cardio, what have you. But I really try to prepare myself. So literally, if I get a call right after I'm done with you and I have a shirtless audition tomorrow, I'm ready for it, you know, and it's a really, you know, tough life, I guess you could say, at some points, because when I want to have, you know, a nice greasy cheeseburger, or when I feel like having a slice of pizza and I know I can't, because that's going to be the time when I have the, that audition or get cast in something. I am giving up some things, but in the end, I look at it as I'm just really, my health and my wellness has actually never been better in my life. I never have felt better. I've never been healthier. Even, you know, getting blood tests and going to doctor's appointments, you know, cholesterol, you know, all that stuff is just immaculate now. And I have my, you know, dedication, you know, to thank for that.
You know, I've done a fair number of indie films. I just did one about 3 months ago, and it had a pretty substantial budget, and I was shocked. I guess I shouldn't have been shocked, but I showed up, and they have catering. You know, they've got, they bring in the food. You're there for a long time. I mean, sometimes you're there for 12 hours. They bring this catering, and suffice to say, if you're really trying to keep in great shape, this is not the catering for you.
No, not at all. And that goes for most of the catering on any movie set, indie or, you know, a big multi-million dollar feature.
Sure.
And that's why I tend to bring my own food in my own cooler. And, you know, I'm not even going to be around it. And I won't even, you know, the problem with me is that, and probably with most people, is you take one, then you say, oh, just have another one. And then before you know it, you're eating a whole bag of something. So that's just something that I really just go cold turkey on, and I just bring my own food. And I'd rather just, if I have nothing, I'd rather just, you know, have some almonds, some nuts, you know, something, you know, a non-perishable, healthy item that, you know, that's going to affect anything aesthetically.
Now, this is Jersey Shore Massacre, so there's a whole bunch of bodies in this film. I mean, I presume you weren't the only guy that brought his own stuff, or were you?
No, there was one other gentleman who's also he's pretty much twice the size as me, and he's a very big bodybuilder, and he tended to bring his own food as well, and he was very disciplined, and I actually bump into him quite often at auditions in New York City, where we're often called in for the same role. So it's kind of the same idea. You know, you can't let yourself go. I'm okay with it. You know, he was okay with it. And it's a life that we're kind of used to living now. So it's all good with me, but everybody else was kind of, you know, you look over and they're just eating, you know, the hot dogs or, you know,
sure,
chips or whatever's there. But we've also positioned our careers at a point where, you know, in many aspects, we are kind of body guys. So that's where we make our money. So if that's where we're going to make our money, as you know, through our physiques, then we have to take care of that to the utmost degree.
Now, you have had some roles in some very big films: College Road Trip, Baby Mama, The Wrestler. But this is a role that you've got a substantial role in this film. Would you say this is I guess I can't really say high profile, but would you consider this the biggest role you've had?
This would definitely be the biggest role I've had. This is, you know, like you said, a substantial amount of screen time. I am one of the principal characters. And the director thought I was a bigger part enough in the movie to be on the poster. So, you know, it's hard to say that this was a bigger role than being a featured character alongside Mickey Rourke, who won a Golden Globe and was an Oscar nominee. But obviously I wasn't, you know, in the movie for that long. But that's definitely something that was a cool experience to say, yeah, I did a scene with an Oscar nominee and a Golden Globe winner.
That's right.
But definitely, this is definitely my biggest role to date. And, you know, it was really, really fun, process of, you know, being a main character on a movie for a month straight and to go through that and to now see the finished product. It's very exciting.
Ron Jeremy is in this film.
Ron Jeremy is in the film. And my little hashtag that I've been using is, you know, I never thought I'd be in a movie with Ron Jeremy. Or, you know, things I never thought I'd say.
That's right.
You know? And now I can say that I've done a movie with Ron Jeremy and just kind of let everyone else's imagination to finish the rest of that thought. But yeah, you know, he made a good little cameo in the movie as well. He just, you know, if he could bring some of his audience onto the film, then that would be great. And there's also quite a few characters from the Howard Stern show, so all the big Stern watchers will probably be very satisfied with the film as well.
What is Ron Jeremy? I mean, he comes on the set. There's all of the ladies all over the place. You know, he's getting a little older. I don't even know if he's got any sort of porn career right now. I don't really follow Ron Jeremy. But what's it like working with this fellow? What's he like on the set? Is he on the prowl?
Very respectful. He was very, very cool dude. Very nice to everybody. And it's kind of like, I guess, you know, I guess I'll compare it to kind of like Ric Flair, you know, coming back.
That's,
I mean,
a,
you know,
very good,
you know,
comparison,
kind of,
actually.
You know, he's kind of past his prime. You know, he's not performing like he used to, so to speak. But you know, you're still very respectful of what he's done for his industry. You know, all kidding aside, I mean, the man has built one of the biggest names in the history of his industry, and you don't have to say, you know, porn star Ron Jeremy. If you just say Ron Jeremy, everyone knows who he is. So, you know, kudos for him to, you know, building up his brand like he did. And he was really cool to work with. Everybody was taking pictures with him, and he was really cool with that. So yeah, it was he added a definite good element on set.
And what about the Howard Stern guys?
Those are some weird dudes, like for real. And there were some interesting takes, and I believe that there will be quite a few outtakes and some special features on the Jersey Shore DVD. And those are going to be ones that I highly recommend people watch.
Now, is this just sort of like these people got hired for these roles because, you know, obviously if you're a Howard Stern regular, you're going to get a lot of promotion on the Howard Stern show, but really not a whole lot of acting ability here to speak of?
I honestly still think they cast the roles based on, you know, how they could use some of the characters from the show. I mean, there are some really funny scenes where, I mean, I'm not going to say that there wasn't any acting involved. There was definite, you know, acting involved where I was just watching from behind the camera. I'm like, wow, that was really good, you know. And I think everyone will be pleasantly surprised with how much the guys from the Stern Show, you know, add to the film. And, you know, it's a comedy horror, you know, and they definitely help, you know, add to the comedy aspect of the entire film.
So have you been doing, I guess, tell us a little bit more about some of your recent acting gigs. Are you mostly doing the fitness stuff right now and just auditioning on the side when things come up, or are you kind of hardcore in acting at this point?
Well, you know, I am right in New York, in New York City. So I am, you know, going on as many as, you know, one audition every day, or, you know, a couple auditions a week, in addition to attending acting class. And then I still have all my my fitness business that I'm doing. So it's definitely a big time management skill that I've learned, and I'm managing my time extremely well. And I quite honestly don't have much time for anything else outside of, you know, my career aspirations in the fitness industry and the entertainment industry, and as well as, oh yeah, I'm a husband as well. So I have that whole, have that whole wife thing that I'm trying to make time for.
You know, I was looking at your filmography on Wikipedia, and they have the damn thing backwards. So I was sitting here looking at this whole time thinking, man, not a lot of action since 2009. And that was the beginning. So you've actually done five things in 2013, Jersey Shore Massacre, the most recent. So things have actually stepped up for you of late.
Yeah. And that's, you know, a very fortunate thing to happen. But on the other hand, you have to realize if you're going to be an actor, and especially in New York City, there will be definite, you know, peaks and valleys. And there have been a month, you know, months where I haven't had one audition. And there will be a week where I have two every single day, you know. So you just kind of keep plugging away and keep putting yourself out there and, you know, stay positive when everything is pointing towards negative. And if you don't get the call back, it's fine, because maybe you just weren't the right look for what they were looking for. You know, there's so many things that come into play that, you know, it's very similar to wrestling when they say, you know, just, you can't give up, you know, because once you give up, then you obviously have no chance of success. So it's just something that you just keep plugging away at.
You can't take it personally, in other words.
Exactly. You know, and I read a lot of what casting directors and agents, you know, give advice on and meeting them. And, you know, they have these lists of, like, you know, why weren't you cast? And it had nothing to do with you doing a good or bad audition. It had everything to do with, you know, the casting director thought your hair was too dark, or, you know, thought your voice was too deep, or, you know, it's some things that you can't control. So, you know, you may have killed the audition, did everything right, but for that particular part, you know, they were just looking for something else. So you definitely can't take it personally. And on the other hand, though, you definitely want to learn from your mistakes.
Now, in pro wrestling, there are, especially today, there's far fewer spots available. But at the same time, there are far fewer people trying to get into pro wrestling than are trying to get into acting. I had a friend who told me that some ridiculous number, like 20,000 people go to LA every year to try to get into acting. And obviously there's a lot of people fighting for a lot of roles, but I mean, there are a lot of films. I mean, they're big budget films, they're independent films. There's everything, it runs the gamut. So there are a lot of different opportunities for a person. You have now done this film. As noted, you were in College Road Trip, Baby Mama, The Wrestler. You've been on Jimmy Fallon. In pro wrestling, you made it all the way to WWE. Comparing the two, would you say that one is easier to get to a top level in, or in some ways is it just as difficult in both?
I'm gonna say it's just as difficult in both, And the amount of respect that I have for both industries, you know, being in both industries is so great, because when I started out going up through the independents and going to wrestling school and doing the 9-hour drives to do a 4-minute match and going through the acting training and doing films for nothing, you know, 2 minutes scene where it takes all day, and working my way up the ranks that way. It's just, I have such respect for anybody who's willing to put their time and effort into being successful in either wrestling or acting, because it's a tough road on both ends.
You know, it seems to me that more so in the old days, if you could learn to be a good wrestler, if you could learn to be a good hand, especially like in the territory days, if you could be a good hand in the ring, I mean, you could get work somewhere. And today, with WWE just being such an overwhelming number one brand, and very much like a casting director, you know, they've got an idea of what they want you to look like. They've got a very specific, I mean, they're always like, they're going to be an exception here or there, but in general, they've got a look that they want, and they've got a speaking ability. I mean, it seems to me that WWE today, getting into WWE today is more like getting into a Hollywood blockbuster film than probably ever before.
I would tend to agree with that. And the thing that I always tell, you know, interviewers that interview me that don't know anything about wrestling is, I try to explain, wrestling is the culmination of every single part of acting that there is, because you need to have the acting ability, you need to have the emotions, you need to have the facial expressions, you need to have the athletic ability, you need to be able to have improv experience. Every single aspect of entertainment, it goes into being a pro wrestler. And it's one of the toughest jobs that one could have. And then throw in the fact that you're traveling 4 to 5 days a week, if not more than that, not sleeping enough, never finding a good place to eat at, you know, after a show, or it's very difficult to do that. You know, it's the obstacles that wrestlers face just on a daily basis, and the fact that they're still able to go out and perform, and everyone kind of takes for granted, you watch them on TV and everybody looks great and everyone's full of energy, but backstage about an hour before then, they're sipping on coffee, trying to, you know, slap themselves in the face, trying to just get enough energy to go out and when the red light's on. So it's an amazing opportunity to be a world-class television wrestler. And I cannot say enough about the guys that have made it to the main roster today.
You know, also a lot of wrestlers get into acting after their careers are over. They try and transition into it. And I think, you know, obviously wrestling is a young man's game, especially in a cosmetic business. And with acting, I mean, it's still very, very difficult to break into it, but you know, every film's going to need an old guy and a fat guy and, you know, every conceivable age and body type. You can get some sort of acting role off of that. So there's, in some ways, a little bit less pressure. But a lot of wrestlers that have tried to become actors, some have done a great job, and some just, I mean, they can't catch a break or they're no good at it. And you mentioned that wrestling is kind of like it's everything that you would need to be a great actor. Why do you think that some guys have such a difficult time with that transition?
I think, honestly, it's probably more due to the fact that, not that they can't do it, but maybe they don't have the business sense. Maybe they don't have the right people around them or the right people in their ear, or they just don't know, you know, how to go about, you know, getting ahead the best way they can. And it's a definite learning process. I'm still learning plenty, and I'm in New York City. I'm with the top, you know, casting directors and agents, and it's still learning something every single day. Oh, wow, I didn't know that. Or, oh, that's why they put this sign-up sheet there, you know, whatever it is. So the having the, you know, wherewithal to want to learn as much about the business as you can. I think a lot of mistakes, too, are made because people, wrestlers, would just think, you know what? Hey, I was a big-time wrestler. I was on TV. Hey, where's my big movie role?
Sure.
You know? But how about, like, you know, how about working your way up through the movie ranks like you did with, you know, your wrestling career? Not all of us can be Dwayne Johnson and Batista and all of a sudden leave wrestling and land a major movie role off the bat. Some of us have to, you know, work our way up a little harder than that.
I think also there's that aspect of it where in pro wrestling you've got to be just big and in a lot of ways overly dramatic, and as a film star, I mean, unless you want to be typecast, if you want to actually get real roles, you've got to not be so big and dynamic. And I remember when Rock started, you know, he started out as kind of like an action hero, and then he wanted to do serious roles, and so he dropped tons of weight. And he was really trying to like look more like a normal human being in order to get those roles. And now he's just kind of just like, I'll be an action star, and he's just gigantic at doing all these action movies. But I think that for some guys, they're so used to being larger than life that they can't be true to life, sort of.
Yeah, and I would tend to agree with that. And I think they also have to realize too that, you know what? You know, there's kind of a saying that it's better to be typecast than not cast at all.
That's right.
So, you know, take what you can get typecasted for as you develop whatever you want to develop on the side. Last year, I started taking Shakespeare classes, some of the hardest stuff that I ever had to do. And I was in my first Shakespeare play last year. You know, how about that for a resume instead of being, oh, yeah, he's just Jimmy Fallon, Jersey Shore. Holy cow. He knows how to do Shakespeare, you know? So that's something that, once again, if you want to be well-rounded, if you want to, you know, go after the entire acting aspect and not just step into the acting world and say, where's my roles? I'm a big dude. I got a good body. You know, give me everything, as opposed to really, really trying to learn your craft and, you know, find different ways you can get out of that typecasted role.
You know, it's funny. Batista just did Guardians of the Galaxy, and he's getting like all of these rave reviews. And he just did an interview the other day, and he mentioned that he wants to do Shakespeare. I was like, huh, how about that? What a coincidence.
You know, the Shakespeare teacher that I have, he summarizes it like this. If you could do Shakespeare, you could do anything.
Sure.
So if you can get Shakespeare down and you can understand it and you could speak the language and you could be a part of it, then when you get, you know, the audition for Law and Order and you have to read it and memorize it and perform it, it's a piece of cake. So that's something to consider as well. And that's great. I didn't hear that about Batista, but, you know, good for him for wanting to do Shakespeare. And he was actually always a good acquaintance of the heartthrobs when we were in WWE. And I actually think he mentioned us in his book about the time he took us out and tried to just get us hammered the night before TV taping and him and Jericho. So he was always a good guy to me, and I wish him very well in his acting career.
Now, you've starred in a number of different roles. In Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, you were a Jersey Shore D-bag. That's exactly what it says on Wikipedia right there, Jersey Shore D-bag. You were Giovanni here. You, of course, are Tony in Jersey Shore Massacre. I mean, you can easily play the role of Jersey Shore D-bag. But I mean, is there any role that maybe you've seen somebody play a character in a movie that's just totally different from what people would expect out of you? You sort of mentioned Shakespeare, but I mean, is there anything that, any sort of role that you just wish, man, I'd love to do something like this?
You know, I look at the shows like Parks and Recreation and Modern Family and that type of stuff, and I would love to do, you know, do stuff on a show like that. I really, when we watch a comedy, once again, we take it for granted when we just laugh at the jokes and think things are funny. The art of comedy is one of the hardest pieces of acting that there is. So I would love to work with those, you know, people like Amy Poehler on a daily basis, Alec Baldwin, all the people that we see that, you know, that just make us laugh, and, you know, not realizing that is just as much of a skill to do that as memorizing a Shakespearean monologue.
I would say maybe in some ways harder. There's nothing worse than trying to do comedy and nobody laughs.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and when you get, you know, I've gotten plenty of comedy auditions where it's like, okay, there's the joke. And then it's like, okay, well, how are you going to shape it? So
how are you going to set it up?
Right. Exactly. So there's just as much work that goes into comedy, and I'm just overall a big comedy fan. So that would be something that I'd love to do.
So you were just at Nike World Headquarters, is that right?
Yeah, I was just invited over to the Nike World Headquarters in Portland, Oregon. They invited, in their eyes, about 150 of the top trainers from across the country to do a three-day kind of seminar, workshop, networking event. And it's almost 200 acres of just amazing, amazing land. And every building is named after a particular sports figure that has been a Nike ambassador. So I went into the Michael Jordan building and the Mike Schmidt building, the Mia Hamm building, the Bo Jackson building, and so on and so forth. So that was a really great experience. In addition to just being around such talented fitness professionals, and not to mention the 50% off I got at the Nike store.
Wow.
Definitely. Yeah. That was a definite shopping spree for someone in the fitness industry.
So they considered you one of the top how many trainers in the world?
They invited about 150.
Wow. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, that was very humbling when I got that invitation. And once again, it was just something that I've really put a lot of time and effort into. Wrestling, when I was, you know, on the road and with WWE and traveling overseas, looking back, the way I was taking care of my body, you know, from just how I was training, the type of training I was doing, and the nutrition that I was doing, you know, wasn't really optimal. And I've put a lot of time and effort into studying from some of the top industry leaders in fitness and nutrition. And it's definitely paid off. I'm a completely different person now as a trainer, as an athlete, than I was, you know, 5 and 10 years ago.
You know, I don't want to downplay acting or pro wrestling, but if you go out to have a match, you want to have a good match. You want to put on a good show for the people. But if something goes wrong and you just have a bad match, it's sort of like, who gives a shit? You know what I mean? You had a bad match. You can go out the next day and try again. Same with like a movie role. Maybe you didn't do the scene exactly how you wanted, but it's kind of like, you tried. Oh, well, it's just like, move on with your life. Do better next time. With personal training, it would almost seem like there's in some ways more pressure to be a good personal trainer than to be a good wrestler actor, in the sense that if someone's coming to you for fitness advice, I mean, maybe they went to the doctor and they were told, you know, you need to lose some weight for your health, for your life, or they just, you know, they've got something where they care enough that they came to you to help them. And it almost seems like it would be more pressure. Like, you don't want to let this person down. You want to help this person. You don't want this person to just come in here, you just take their money, and you give them a routine, and they fail, and they move on. I mean, there has to be that thing that's sort of like, I really want to help this person. And it's kind of a real letdown if you fail.
Right. And when I first got into the fitness industry, I was like, all right, how hard could this be? You know, show someone a few exercises, they do them, and then results should happen. And, you know, it's obviously a lot more than that.
Oh, yeah.
And I have just as much respect, as I said previously, to personal trainers and fitness coaches that I've studied under and that I'm around on a daily basis than actors and wrestlers. And every one of these professions, you know, I've been around the top guys, and they are not at the top because they're slackers and because they're not willing to learn. There's definite pressure, you know, when there's somebody that's standing in front of you that's really looking for help. And that's when the aspect of not being a trainer, but being an actual coach, and you almost end up being a life coach. So it's not just, hey, I'm going to put you through a good workout 2, 3, 4 days a week. It's, what are we doing outside of these sessions? How's the nutrition coming along? You know, did you eat enough vegetables? Did you drink enough water? You know, were you able to cut down junk foods from 3 days a week to 1 day a week? It's all, you know, the effects of stress on your nervous system, skeletal system, muscular system, you know, and how that will affect someone who wants to lose weight, and they could be doing everything right. But, you know, if they're in a very stressful environment every day, their body's going to shut down and it won't allow, you know, them to lose weight. So there's so many things that are involved. It is a huge responsibility to be a coach of an individual and a client, and I take it very seriously.
So, like a trainer, I guess to clarify, would you sort of like, you know, here's your routine, do it and do this. A coach, it's I presume a lot more difficult because, you know, everybody needs a different kind of motivation. You know, some people may react to some tough love. Some people may react to something completely different, and tough love is just going to kill the whole relationship. Is that kind of one of the struggles of being a coach?
Yeah, you kind of have to be a chameleon, and you kind of have to know when should you push someone's buttons and when you should back off. You know, and some people, you don't need that tough love. And like you said, some people, it's going to totally turn them off. So, you know, that whistle-blowing boot camp guy, you know, some people love him, but, you know, there's some people that would never, ever listen to him. So you really have to, this is when you sit down with your clients and figure out, you know, in your mind, you know, what personality type is this client? What do they need? Do they need to be, you know, caressed a little bit, or they need to be kicked in the butt? Do they need a daily email reminder? Hey, you know, make sure you don't skip on breakfast today. Or do, you know, or is it more of a, hey, how was your week overall? You know, so it's, each individual is so different that it's a challenge every time. It's never, oh yeah, you know, this is just like Mary, you know, and now that I'm training Jane. So everybody's so different. Everybody's personality is different. Everybody's goals are different. But the two goals that I say every single person has is, number one, nobody wants to be in pain. And number two, everybody wants the best quality of life possible. So those are the two things that I kind of revolve my training around. Because if you're not in pain and you have great quality of life, then odds are you're going to be a pretty happy person. And the people that are in pain, and I'm sure you know quite a few people, and I'm dealing with people, you know, getting in and out of pain every day, you know, they are, you know, fairly, you know, miserable people in many aspects of their life. So those are two things that I always try to address, no matter what the individual is, because, like I said, if you're not in pain and you have good quality of life, and I'm doing a really good job.
You know, I've been interested in fitness since I was like 14 when I watched an Ultimate Warrior match of all things. And I've never not worked out. And it seems that I'm 39 now. And for a lot of my life, I mean, I think with a lot of people, it's okay, here's a new routine. Here's some sort of new, maybe not a new diet, but like a new, there's all sorts of wacky things. There's a supplement here or there. And as I get older, it's sort of like you start to realize that at the end of the day, it's all the simple stuff that you've really known all along. You know what I mean? Like, eat right. Don't eat bad stuff. You know what you shouldn't be eating. You know what you should be eating. And forget all the goofy workouts. I mean, you should. I mean, the simple stuff is the stuff that works. Is that not correct?
Absolutely. And one of the people that I follow in the fitness industry, his name is Mike Boyle. And he just reiterates, keep it simple. He's like, there's a reason why we're still squatting. Like, we didn't reinvent the squat. You know, so all these new fancy, you know, exercises where you're standing on one leg on a, you know, on a half ball to balance, and you have one arm up in the air holding a dumbbell and the other arm, you know, it's like, just chill out with that stuff. You know, there's a reason why the basics have been around for so long and that are still being utilized today. And if you listen to some of the top industry leaders like Mike Boyle, like a great cook, and those type of individuals, they all say the same stuff. And there's no substitute for doing the simple things very, very well. And I think there's a quote that I have up in my office. I'll see if I can remember it now. It's, only those who take the time to do the simple things perfectly will be able to do the difficult things easily.
I think a lot of it is people get bored and they want a new exercise, or they want a new supplement to motivate them and get them into the gym or this and that. And I think that one struggle that, and maybe you've got like a solution to this, or maybe this is just a reality. I mean, you can go to the gym and see the old guy who's like in tremendous shape, and he comes in there every day and he goes into the rack and he squats and he deadlifts and he benches. And then, you know, he's probably eats the exact same thing at the same time every day. And really, it's for a lot of people, it would be very boring, but it's very, very effective. And he just has done it year after year after year after year. And now he's in his 60s and he looks great. And I just think for a lot of people, just doing something like that, the real simple stuff that works, can be boring.
You know what it is? And you touched on a great point. And one of the things that I've been preaching lately, and that the people that are my mentors have been making sure that I'm aware of, is, you know, where is the fun in fitness? Where is the opportunity for your clients to say, man, I can't wait to work out. I can't wait to go to the gym, because a lot of people will look at exercises. I have to drag myself to the gym. I have to bring myself to work out so I don't get fat. Or, you know, I bet you that guy that you described who's 60 years old, he still really enjoys doing that.
Sure.
And that's why he does it. And that's why he's successful at it. It's the people that feel like they have to drag themselves to the gym. And then, you know, oh my God, what is my trainer going to do to me today? That's where fitness has really gone away. How great would it be for everyone who goes to the gym being like, man, I can't wait to do that class today. I can't wait to do, you know, those weights today with my trainer. That was really fun last time. As opposed to, man, my trainer's going to kick my ass today. Oh, I so don't want to go. That's no way to live, you know. And as a coach, that's something that me and the people that I'm around are always trying to figure out. You know, how can you make it so, you know, fitness is something you want to look forward to, as opposed to it being boring, as opposed to it being a job. And like I said, that's something that myself and the people around me and the people that I'm learning from and have learned from are trying to change the culture.
You've got some stuff coming up here, including, in addition to the Jersey Shore Massacre world premiere on August 19th, you are going to appear as Big Bro in Boner's Coffee, which is a live theater production, August 21st and August 22nd. All of this, by the way, is up at GiovanniRoselli.com. If you Google Romeo Roselli, you'll find this page. And tell us a little bit more about this live theater production that you've got coming up.
So it's off-Broadway in New York City. And talk about being typecast once again. But hey, right now I'd rather be typecast and not cast at all, like I said. The role is Big Bro. And it's actually a web series that was developed into a live theater production. And as far as we know, this is the first of its kind that a web series is being turned into a live theater. And it's just a 10-episode web series that pits the, you know, the normal nerds from a coffee shop against the obnoxious bros from, you know, across the street and their dynamics. And it's just really fun to do. Once again, something that, you know, even though, hey, I was typecast, I'm playing a character named Big Bro, it's still an amazing learning experience to be in an off-Broadway production in New York City where, you know, you have to be on the top of your game. You don't know who's in the audience. People are, you know, this is a paying, paying crowd that you have to, once again, there's a comedy aspect that you have to make laugh. It's obviously a very comedic, has comedic undertones. So I'm looking forward to finishing up the rehearsals, which we are finishing up this week. So between this and Jersey Shore Massacre, it's going to be a busy rest of the month for me. And just something else that I could add to my resume.
I was looking at your event calendar, and September 20th, you are booked for Old Time Wrestling, T-Y-M-E, Old Time Wrestling. What is this?
Well, that's not a misprint. Old Time Wrestling, the heartthrobs reunite once again.
Oh, my God.
The two idiots are going to be side by side. September 20th up in Massachusetts. And, you know, it's just something fun that when we get asked to do and we're both available, it's just a ton of fun to team back up with Antonio. And the last time we teamed was for Chikara. And we ended up putting on a match where we ended up wrestling ourselves for a couple minutes within a tag match. Very hard to explain, but we just have a lot of fun with it now. And, you know, any time that myself and Antonio can get a chance to team up, we do so. So Old Time Wrestling gave us a call and we said, sure, we'd love to do it. And that's up in Massachusetts on September 20th, like you said.
I got to plug Antonio. I hung out with him in Vegas for the convention that we do every year, and he has got you must have seen it by now, his new haircut. He's got an old time haircut, straight out of about 1890. It's all slick to the side and immaculate, and it's too bad he can't grow the big handlebar mustache because it would just be an incredible look. But he's all ready to go.
Does it look like he'll be good in Happy Days now?
Dude, it'd be, some sort of Happy Days may be too contemporary for his haircut. I don't really know how to describe it.
Over the last 5 years, I don't think anybody has had more different hairstyles, I guess you could say.
Sure.
Then he's shaved his head, he's cornrowed his head, he's slicked his hair back, he's let it grow long into a ponytail, he's done it all. So maybe Antonio's just trying to find his true hairstyle.
He's just trying to find the real promise. That's what he's trying to do. The website, everybody, GiovanniRoselli.com, and of course don't forget the Jersey Shore Massacre premiere. If you are listening to this and you are in New York City, then you got to mark your calendar for this coming Tuesday night. It is August 19th, the world premiere of Jersey Shore Massacre. What's the theater again?
It'll be the AMC Lincoln Square Theater in New York City.
AMC Lincoln Square Theater. That is the premiere of Jersey Shore Massacre. It will hit theaters on August 22nd, and then it will go to video on demand on August 26th. So make sure you check that out. It is Jersey Shore Massacre. This movie's been reviewed everywhere. I saw a review in USA Today. If you Google Jersey Shore Massacre, you'll see about 9,000 reviews. Winner, Freak Show Film Festival is one of its, I guess, what do they call it? The festival wins. So you can check that out. And anything else you'd like to get in there before we wrap it up here today?
I just want to, you know, thank you for having me on the show. And thanks for those who have supported me, you know, throughout the years. You know, I started in wrestling, you know, 15 years ago. And it's been quite the interesting journey, and seems that life has taken me into the acting world and the fitness world. And, you know, I'm just having a lot of fun doing all three. And I look forward to seeing where my careers will take me, you know, over the next 10 years.
Well, I want to thank you very much for being on the show today, and best of luck with all three careers. And hopefully very soon we can get you back on, and maybe we'll have another movie to talk about. So thanks again for that.
Let's hope so, and thanks again.
Of course, thanks everybody for listening. We'll be back later on tonight with more after the SmackDown tapings. We'll talk to you again after a while.